not strange to me that that would be written. What is a mystery, it seems to me, is that black folks never fell for that. And I want to try to focus this morning upon some of the whys about that. In the first instance, theology is defined as being rational discourse about God, rational thinking, rational talking about God. Unless some of us feel that it's all emotional, I should underscore rational discourse and talk about God. And all discourse begins with some presupposition. There is, or there has to be, a point of departure. That is to say that you don't begin any kind of discourse from nothing. There are some presuppositions that we have to make in order that we can talk and communicate. When I use a word, you have to assume, presume, or presuppose that I mean approximately what you mean when you use that same word. Therefore, Christian theology begins with a presupposition that there was and is a man called Jesus the Christ, who is God-man. Also begins with the presupposition that God called a community of oppressed people into existence. And that community's existence was defined and determined by the fact that God called it into existence. And we have to begin with that kind of presupposition where we begin to talk about God. Now, one of the best ways, it seems to me, about getting at the question about black theology is to just look at modern theology. Look at the liberal tradition. And most people, for some reason or other, prefer to see themselves as liberal. There is a kind of feeling amongst us that to be liberal is to be good. Well, liberal theology begins with a couple of presuppositions that we want to examine. First presupposition in liberal theology is that man is innately good. That there is a spark of the divine in the human soul. That man is created in his essence and that he is innately good. Second kind of presupposition is that man can know God through reason. That is to say, God is out there, and man, through his rational faculties, begins to determine who God is, and what God is, and what God means. Therefore, revelation in the liberal tradition simply becomes propositional truths about God. That is to say that we can talk about God as being God is love, God is light, God is merciful, God is omnipotent, God is omnipresent. And indeed, that man takes the initiative, that God is just sitting there somewhere, waiting for man to approach and try to dissect him and to understand him. And since man uses his reason to pose questions about and answers about God, and since man is innately good, revelation is propositional truths about God, then sin is simply ignorance. That is to say, if you are created innately good, and the only reason that you don't do what you're supposed to do is because you don't know no better. And of course, that is the traditional Western theology. And that provided the rationality, the rationale for the missionary movement in Africa and Asia. That these people are sitting over here, and the reason that an African chief got 100 wives is that he don't know no better. And we gonna go over here and teach him. Show. Well, fortunately for some of you, that lasted a while. For most of us, it lasts for a lifetime. But then something happened. We had a World War I. And all of a sudden, it was impossible to talk about man's innate goodness. When we were involved, well, I should not say we. When you were involved in a worldwide holocaust, murdering each other, and it was very impossible to say, now man is innately good and he's rational and that he knows what is to know what is good is to do it. How can you bring that into congruence with a worldwide holocaust? A theologian named Karl Barth changed the course of theological history. Barth said that revelation ain't just simply truths about God. That revelation is God's disclosure of himself. Not something about him, but himself, which means that it is an encounter. Which means you can't be unemotional about that. I mean, if you are confronted and you are encountered by God himself, ain't nothing unemotional. Man does not simply sit down somewhere and say, yeah, I believe that there's a God somewhere. Let me try to see what he looks like. But it is only on God's initiative that revelation takes place. I ain't got nothing to do about that. I can't force it. I can't wish it on myself. I can't reason it on myself. It happens and it's an encounter. And furthermore, it is through that encounter and only in that encounter that I can begin to know who I am as the creature of God. And all other definitions of myself that are not posited by that encounter are insufficient. And really ride on the throes of meaninglessness. Now all theological discourse, theological investigation and explication has to have some ingredients that makes it rational talk about God, that enables it to make sense. First, you must have a definition of what you think the theological task is about. What is it that you're doing if you're a theologian, if you're engaging in theologizing? What is your task? What do you see as your primary goal? For instance, a theologian like Paul Tillich would say that the task of the theologian is to demonstrate that the gospel has the answer to the questions that men raise. That is to say that whatever it is that one raises a question about meaning, about purpose, the nature of existence, the goal and purpose of our being, until it says that all one needs to do is to look at the gospel and there one finds the answer. Therefore, he has already said something about a method. And his methodology is called correlation, which means here is the situation in which men find themselves. And here is the gospel. That this situation is being interpreted in many ways. History, sociology, poetry, art, science, all psychology and psychiatry, gerontology, trying to say what life is all about, what the questions that bug us. Theologian says, so it has the answer in the gospel. Then he has to decide what it is that he's going to use to examine and to give an explication. What are his sources? And we just named Tillich's sources. History, they're innumerable. And he has to have a normative, and that is to have some way of deciding how he is going to use the sources that are available to him. And that normative determines how he uses the sources. Now, Black theology is, as I believe all theology is, a reflective discipline. Now, the problem is with white theologians is that they assume that they are creative. know, everybody wants to be creative. I like to think as a human being that I could go out and create something. But theologians don't create nothing. And they run into errors when they presume that they have become creative. The task is, given the presupposition that there is a community that God has called into existence, the black theologian's task is to say to the community and to enable the community to understand what it believes about its own identity and why it believes that. That is to say, the theologian doesn't go off of his room and sit down and write unreadable stuff that nobody understands and nobody's gonna read anyway. And if all you have to do is make a comparison between theological books that have been written by black folks and those that have been written by white folks. And it's very difficult for even those who have some penchant for theology to read some of that stuff. Endless words and jargon. Primarily because the white theologian has presumed that his task was to be universal and to speak for and to everybody. The black theologian begins with the proposition that he is a part of a community. Let me give you a kind of funny illustration about that. Jim Cohn and Will Hirschfeld and I spent about 3 weeks in Africa last summer. And one of the things was that we talked about was about community a lot. And so sometimes we'd be sitting around in somebody's room with not much to do, drinking scotch and half drunk, and somebody would get up to leave. I said, "Where are you? Where do you think you're going?" "So I'm going to bed." "What do you mean you go on to bed? Did you get the community's permission?" And then folks come back, "Well, they get the community's permission to go to bed." Now, that kind of play that was going on there was really a playoff on a very serious thing, and that is the seriousness with which one takes the community. And that is to say, if a theologian posits even something that he has seen and wants to interpret, and suddenly realizes that really that is not the question that the community raises, he is obliged then to give a corrective. Because it is only the community that can really write the theology. The theologian can gather it and make sense of it and put it in some kind of system and make it rational and make it readable and understandable. He can use his expertise to say, "Now, this is why you believe what you believe about God calling you into existence." So that is really no Christian theology. There is no Christian theology that can consider itself legitimately Christian theology unless it's given to the community and done by and for the community. One might raise a question about what were the events to change the course of history. And I suppose that some of y'all would say Hiroshima. Some might say World War I. Some might say nuclear fission. Some might even say 1954, decision of the Supreme Court. But I think that if black folks were called upon to ask that, to deal with that question, they'd have to deal with it in two ways, in terms of an event and a non-event. Suppose the event, and I will make it collective, would be when James Barrick and Peter Williams decided to walk out of John Street Methodist Church. Richard Allen and Absalom Jones walked out of St. George Methodist Church. That would be the event. Change the course of history. The non-event would be first time a slave said no to his master. The first time that a slave decided and knew that he was not a slave, but a creature of God. That's a mystery. How does a slave know that he is not a slave when every reality about him defines him as such and as nothing? How does he assert his somebody-ness? How does he know? And I say white folks made a critical error. You see, you can't play with the law. Can't do that. You get in trouble. White folks thought they were over by teaching black folks that thing to do was to be a Christian and obey your master. Thought that they had gotten over. And things were gonna be all right now because we all got our niggas under control. Because we just preached them the gospel as recorded by Onesimus. What strange thing happened? You can't get too close. You never can't get too close to the Lord without something happening to you. And soon after they began to talk black folks about God, what they wanted them to know, black folks thought something else. Said, wait a minute. There's something else here. And it was in the encounter of God's revelation, his disclosure of himself, that black folks began to know who they were. They had no identity crisis about that. They could sing the song that I'm just traveling through this land. This really ain't my home. That this is not reality itself. I ain't worried about it. Then I ain't worried about my liberation because it's assured. So they knew. They were not slaves, but children of God. And it's because of that reality, a reality that no one else can deal with, that black theology has always been around. See, we have always known that it was suicide for us to attempt to think and talk and be like white folks. Finally, one illustration. during the period of the move toward an integrated society, white folks didn't have no trouble communicating to black folks. None whatsoever. Not an inkling of the fact that there was any kind of difficulty. Every march that I ever went on in my life throughout Alabama, Georgia, North Carolina, and Mississippi, always a whole lot of white folks that didn't have no trouble communicating. But it was after the Black Power movement emerged again that white folks had difficulty communicating with black folks. And you know why? It's simple. You see, as long as I was affirming your existence, and it's a serious thing that white folks have really never known who they were apart from black folks. Every definition of white folksness is predicated on what they assume blackness to be and how they define. But when I took my own definition into my hand, then I left you out there with nothing. And suddenly, you had an identity crisis because you no longer knew who you were. I took away your definition because your definition was dependent on me. Therefore, you have trouble communicating, understanding, talking. Can't talk to me no more. And black theology reinforces that position.